So my name's Glenn, for anyone who doesn't know me, and we're continuing on this morning in a series about Jesus the Game Changer. It's a series we've been doing over the last few weeks, and I guess really what we've been looking at is how the world is different today, how society, Western society, is different because of the Lord Jesus. And I was looking into a bit of the reason why we're even doing this course, and there's some good rationale behind it. If you sort of think back over the last 100 years, Christianity has, the way it's viewed from non-Christians has changed. So if you went back about 100 years ago, people looked at the church and at Christians and they said, you know, they're a great group. They're people to be admired. And then as time's gone on, sort of, you know, through the 50s, 60s, 70s, the church sort of became ignored. And they're over there, they're all right, but they're just doing their thing. That's them and we do our thing. And as we move into the time we're in now, we've sort of shifted to a point where Christians are kind of tolerated. But I don't know if you've noticed, but in recent times, there's been a shift to the point where Christians are starting to be viewed as almost a threat to our peaceful, loving society that we have. And some of their ideas make non-Christians quite uncomfortable. And the reason we're doing this course is because it's helping us to see that the very society that they have, the loving, caring, peaceful society that we have in the West, is not in spite of Christians. Largely, it is because of Jesus Christ, his influence on the world, and because of the church and how the church has impacted the world around it. So I heard a great quote from Bob Marley. He says, if you know your history, then you know where you're coming from. And I think that's good for us to know our history, to know where we're coming from, and to understand that the world we live in and a lot of the wonderful things we have are because of the Lord Jesus Christ and his impact on the world. He has turned the world upside down. So the first session that we did was talking about how that Jesus was a real person in history. He's not a fictional character. He's not like, I won't name names, but in case there's any... Oh, it's not too many little kids here. But anyway, you can guess what I was going to say. People who are not real... He is a real person in history. He lived. He did the things he said he did. Other historians outside of the people who wrote the Bible can attest to this. He died. He rose again. He was seen by many witnesses. This is real stuff that happened in history. We can be sure about the Lord Jesus and what the Bible says about him. We've also heard about how that the Bible, and Jesus in particular, taught how that everybody's equal. This is a concept that hasn't just sort of come out of the world. This is a biblical concept that Jesus really modeled. Everyone is equal. We're all created equal. Men, women, children, from whatever culture, whatever people group, we're equal because we're all God's creation. Then last week, I think it was Lyndon talked about... Sorry, I wasn't here. He talked about that women and children and the treatment of women and children and how that Jesus has changed that throughout the world. The fact that we care for women, the status of women in society and children has been lifted through the Lord Jesus Christ. And today we're talking about care. And it's pretty broad in a lot of ways, but it's a wonderful thing. And you know, some of the comments that were made this morning just really helped me to remember that it's easy to take it for granted, but it's a wonderful thing to know that we have a God who cares for us. He cares for each one of us, cares for each one of you individually. He cares about the little details. Letitia mentioned about, you know, knowing the hairs on your head. He cares about every aspect of our lives, the trivial things, the big things. He's a caring God. He cares about us deeply. And that's a pretty wonderful thing. But I want to talk today about how where we are right now in the West, how that has been shaped by the Lord Jesus Christ, and how that through the church that has rolled into society and changed it for the better. So in Australia we have very good hospitals and all sorts of free services for people. You might feel strong or whatever, but it doesn't take much and you're sick, hearing about coronavirus and all these different things, and you're off to the hospital. And in Australia you can receive free care. I'm sure Brendan was feeling like this yesterday. He was out riding his bike. He's probably feeling invincible. And then the next thing, he's on the ground and then He's in a hospital receiving free care. But we can be very thankful that when things do go wrong, that we have some pretty, we actually have world-class health system here in Australia. My son Sam got a bit of a first-hand experience of that. He spent some time in the Royal Children's Hospital, and he had, I remember a day where there was multiple doctors and specialists standing around the bed offering their opinions. He had MRIs and lumbar punctures and all these other things that I don't even know what they are. They did all these wonderful things, and you know what? It didn't cost us a cent. The most expensive thing about it was the car parking. Now, if you've ever dealt with the Royal Children's, we get that for free. But there's a reason for that. That comes through history, and we're going to look into that. But it's not just free healthcare. There's all sorts of things. You know, we in our society, we have help for the poor. We have things like Centrelink. We have DHS. We have aged care. Even if you crash your car, TAC will cover a lot of your expenses and getting fixed up. If you're on a work site, WorkSafe. This idea that that society is there to help is something that we just take for granted. And we might argue about how that should be funded and to what degree that should be done and how much should be put into it and how, where it should go exactly. I mean, you could debate those things till the cows come home and the government does. But if I was to have a survey and ask the population and say, you know, who thinks that we should have these things in some form or another, I reckon 100% of people would say, yep, we've got to have healthcare. We've got to have these things in place to help people. We want a caring society. You know, imagine Scott Morrison tomorrow just decided, you know what, all these services, these hospitals and everything, it's too expensive, we're shutting them all down. Imagine the outcry. People would lose their minds. And there would be an absolute outrage. And part of the reason is because we would say, well, we've always had these things, you can't take it away now. But therein is kind of the trick. We think we've always had these things, but we actually haven't. We haven't had all these things at all. They haven't always even been valued by society. We take a society that cares for granted, but it's Jesus and more than anyone that we have to thank for that. Before Jesus, and at the time of Jesus, things were very different. And I want to read you a quote by a historian. He's an Australian ancient historian, and his name is E.A. Judge. And he's talking about what the world was like at the time of Jesus. He says, classical philosophers of Jesus' time regarded mercy and pity as pathological emotions, defects of character to be avoided by all rational people. It seemed that they taught that humans should curb the impulse towards mercy, and for the undeserving, the call for help should go unanswered. So they thought that helping people, showing care to people, that was actually weakness, and that was to be discouraged. That was the worldview into which Jesus, in the culture that Jesus stepped into. So we haven't always had an attitude that we should help people. And show care for people. And it was really, in the Greco-Roman world at that time, it was very much a matter of survival of the fittest and literally leave the rest to die. And they had two words that dealt with the issue of showing care. So one of them was a word called, and I'll probably pronounce it wrong, but liberalitos. And that was generally, if they did help someone, that was the kind of help they were giving. Liberalitos is where you help someone, but you're helping them really to get something in return. You're either going to get paid to do it, or you're going to get a favour later on. It's somehow, you're helping them, but essentially what you're actually doing is helping yourself down the track. And that was the only kind of real care that was given at that time. The other kind of care was the word caritas. And from that we get the word charity. And it's a little bit like the biblical word that we read a lot, grace. The idea of free help, not expecting anything back. And that was very rare. It was extremely rare in that time that anyone would help someone or show care to someone in any way without expecting something back. And that was a very tough society to live in. You can imagine what it was like. Unfortunately, or fortunately, I don't know, I've actually had the pleasure, or not pleasure, of living in a society like that. We spent some time in a few years living in a tribe in Papua New Guinea, and a very primitive tribe, very far out of the way. And it was a place where the gospel had not been. And so the impact of the gospel had not filled it out amongst these people. So these, you know, it's hard to believe that people live like this, but they did. We lived there. People have some fuzzy-wuzzy ideas. I don't know how that got in there. But fuzzy ideas about warm and fuzzy, that's what I'm going for, not fuzzy-wuzzy. About how tribal people live, and my experience has been that it's mostly a load of rubbish, you know, how they care for the elderly. The village we lived in, they did not care for the elderly at all. Old people, when we were first there learning culture, we were talking about how that was viewed. Old people said, oh, once we get too old, we just sit down next to the fire and wait to die. You just literally do as much as you can for as long as you can, and then it falls apart, and then and you have very little help from your family. The sick often were neglected and not cared for, or, you know, there might be one or two people who would take time out, but there's a very limited amount of help. The disabled, we had a boy there who was disabled, had like a mental sort of issue going on, and it was like the village sport to just make fun of him. Other kids would throw stuff at him, imitate him, whatever. Anyone with a disability was to be mocked. Even animals, it even flowed through to animals. The way animals were treated was horrendous. A friend of mine was working in another tribe, sort of over the mountains. He was telling me how in their village, people would regularly just, the teenage boys would regularly just find a dog and beat it to death for the fun of it. That was entertainment. And do you know what changed those things, though? The entrance of the gospel. And it hasn't changed it for everyone. It's changed it for the few who believed. And the guy who was telling about this village, he said, you know what? They never ever taught about cruelty to animals. But once they preached the gospel, they never saw that happen again. They just saw attitudes change to caring for others. It didn't even have to be taught on. It was just implicit in who Jesus is and what this message means for us. So can you imagine that that was actually the world that was around in Jesus' time? That's the society you would have been born into at that time. You know, when we moved into that village, the very first thing they asked us for, because we said, look, we're coming here to learn your language, and we're going to write it down, and we're going to teach you the Bible, and we're going to teach you all about your Creator. I said, that's good. And then we said, what do you feel that you need? And they said, we need medical help, because they just got sick and died, basically. It was very limited help. And so that was one of the things that we did. So it's the gospel that's actually changed these things. And even in Jewish culture, there were some very warped ideas. So if you've noticed, as you read through the Gospels, you read time and time again stories about Jesus, parables about rich and the poor, and about how the rich don't get have a great ending, but the poor, in the end, you know, they end up with in a great position or whatever, and God honours the poor. The reason Jesus was saying that was because the predominantly held view at the time was that rich people are rich because God loves them, and therefore, because he loves them, they'll go to heaven. And poor people are poor because God doesn't love them, and he doesn't love them, so they will go to a bad place. That was the view. And people had very little pity for the poor. You read the story of a rich man and Lazarus. The poor old Lazarus is just eating the crumbs. But Jesus says, you know what? When those two guys died, it was Lazarus who went to be in paradise. And it was the rich man who went and was in torment. And that, what Jesus was saying there was radical. They were like, what? That can't be right. That doesn't fit. It was 180 degrees to what people believed. So these ideas were very foreign. So Jesus changed the world in regard to the caring for others. We're going to read from Luke chapter 4 and verse 14. Luke chapter 4, verse 14. It says here, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went in the synagogue, as was his custom, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of the sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. So what we see here is that Jesus, he'd been baptised and he began his ministry, and he was he'd been out, he was tempted in the desert, you remember that? And he comes back to the area of Galilee and he's speaking in different synagogues. And he comes to Nazareth. So you remember Jesus was born in Bethlehem, then because of the threat to his life, he was taken to Egypt. They came back from Egypt to Nazareth, and Jesus was raised in Nazareth. So that was his hometown. And he comes to Nazareth, and he's in the synagogue in his hometown, and he's been asked to speak, and it's not, well, it's a little bit like today, actually. And it's like, here's the passage you'll be speaking on, and so off you go. It's not like you get a week to prepare. So he gets handed the book of Isaiah, and he opens it up to this verse, and what he's saying to everybody is, we're reading about the Messiah here, and this is going to be the marks of the Messiah. The Messiah is going to proclaim good news to the poor. He's going to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of the sight to the blind. So they're going to be the marks of the Messiah. Now, that doesn't sound like much, but that's something new. That's something very different. That's something that stood out. And as Jesus went about his ministry, if you read Gospels in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the eyewitness accounts that are written down there about the Lord Jesus Christ, that is exactly what he did. We often look at the miracles that he did and we get amazed at the miracles, but what we miss is that not only did he do a miracle, but he did something radically countercultural. He was caring for sick people, for poor people, for people who needed help. And in that time too, sickness and poor, they go together. They're very, very tightly linked, because if you are sick, you can't earn money, so you are poor. The only people who could get help if they were sick were the rich people. They could afford to pay someone. But if you were poor and sick, you're in big trouble. And if you were sick, you eventually became poor over time. And so it was a very tough situation to be in. And so it was quite a countercultural thing that Jesus was doing. And it was actually the opposite of what the great philosophers at that time taught. So today, as Christians, we want to imitate the Lord Jesus' example, don't we? We want to show kindness to people. We want to care for others. And we like to do, particularly, you know, as a church, we like to help the poor, help people who are sick. We pray for people. We go and visit them. We do all sorts of things to show that we care. And we can do that as people of relative comfort. The Lord has blessed us so that we can do those things. But I think there's a little bit of a danger in that. And the danger in it is that we lose sight of the fact that Christ has come to help us. Often as Christians, we can see ourselves as the ones who are able to help others. We forget that actually we need help, and we have been helped greatly. The Lord Jesus has showed this caritas, this free help with nothing expected in return to us. Luke 4:18, we'll read it again there. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind." You know what? We were spiritually poor, each one of us. In fact, we were bankrupt. We were bankrupt in the sight of God. We had a debt that we could not pay, a debt because of our sins. What was awaiting us was eternal death. That was the wages of our sin. But the Lord Jesus Christ, by coming and dying on the cross in our place, paid for that on our behalf. That was a free gift that the Lord Jesus gave. Now, we were blind. We didn't know how to be saved, but the Lord Jesus Christ showed us how we can be saved through faith in him. We have been shown great charity, or great grace, or caritas. If we go to Ephesians chapter 2, I'll just read it to you. It says, chapter 2, verse 8, "It is by grace you've been saved through faith." Grace, it's a free gift. It's something that's given without something expected to be received. The Lord Jesus Christ has done this for us. It's through faith. The faith is the way we apply it. We put our trust in Jesus. We don't pay for it. We don't earn it. We don't go around trying to do good work so that Jesus will accept us. We just say, thank you, Lord. I'm trusting in you now. It's totally free. And this is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. A gift is something that is given without expectation of repayment. And that was, is what God has done for us. And so we need to remember that we are the recipients of great grace or kindness or care from the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's out of that that we are able to show care and love and grace to others. And so, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's just, he's done so much for us, and we need to act out of thankfulness for that. So Jesus has not only changed the game on, on this level of society, but on our personal level, hasn't he? He's turned our worlds upside down. I know for my life, you know, the influence of Christ in my life means that my life is very, very different to what it would be if I didn't have faith in Jesus. He's turned my life upside down and very much for the better. And so because of what he's done for us, we want to show care to others. And you know what? That is exactly what happened in the early church. So we're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 now and have a look at how this impacted the early church. So in the early church, there was a situation where Christians were being persecuted. And a large degree of that persecution was happening in Jerusalem and Judea. And it was also happening in the area of Macedonia. So in 2 Corinthians, Paul's writing a letter to the Corinthians, and he's encouraging them, because of what God has done for them, to be generous and to help help the believers, the followers of Jesus, who were in Jerusalem and Judea. But it's interesting how he starts. It says there, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1, "And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of very severe trial," so they weren't having a good time themselves, they were struggling, "but in the midst of their very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people." They pleaded with Paul. "Hey, Paul, can we please help these guys in Judea and in Jerusalem?" They were going through tough times themselves. You see how that this idea, which was completely countercultural, had filtered right through the church at the very beginnings. And this is a direct result of Jesus' teaching. And it's interesting why, though, the reason why. So he says in verse 9, so we're jumping down a little bit, verse 9, the reason is, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that through his poverty you might become rich." So the reason to give and to be generous and to be kind that Paul gave to the Macedonians and that flows onto us, the reason for us to show kindness to people, is because the Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, though he was the Son of God, that he was in heaven, he had everything at his disposal, he became a man. He humbled himself. He lived on the earth, and he went to a cross. He was mocked, treated as if he was a sinner, belittled, beaten, put on a cross, and died in our place. And he did that so that we might become rich through what he's done. And so you might, you might look at your bank account and be a bit sad from time to time and think, well, there's not much in there. But it doesn't really matter, because it's only for this lifetime. Spiritually, you are rich because of what the Lord Jesus has done for you. You have the Holy Spirit. You have a future in heaven. You have righteousness in God's sight. You have all these wonderful things. You're as rich as could be in everything that matters. And that's because the Lord Jesus Christ became poor on your behalf. That's sacrificial giving. And so the outflow of that in our lives should be care for those around us. And it has been. And it was for the early church. And it flowed on. So the early church, they acted radically different to the world around them. They showed this real kairos, this giving without expecting something back. They were imitating Jesus and they were obeying his teaching. We're going to have a little look at a video here. This is an Australian historian, Rodney Stark. And you think the coronavirus is an issue, and it is. But in the early time of the early church, there was a virus going through the world, or a plague, is what they called it, and it wiped out 20 to 30% of the population. And so this is what was going on. This is, I guess I'm setting the scene for what's happening. And he talks a little bit about how the teaching of Jesus impacted the early church and how they responded and how it was radically different. So if we can get that going.
Rodney, what was it that Jesus taught that the early church picked up on that kind of shifted?
Well, I suppose the main thing he taught is that life was sacred. That the life of everyone, that people were to take care of one another, that we were our brother's keepers, that that we had a responsibility to look after the old and the young and the disabled and the ill. You know, it showed up incredibly during the two great plagues that hit the Roman Empire very early in Christian days. The wealthy Romans fled the cities when it happened, including the physicians and the priests. The Christians stayed. They nursed the ill, took care of people, and as a consequence, some of them died of the plague, of course. But Christians survived the plague at a much higher rate because, as a matter of fact, if you give people food and water and care for them during the height of their illness, many of them will survive. And so there I was, apparent to all these pagan neighbors, that the Christians were outliving them because they're taking care of one another.
So there you go. In that time, the culture was, hey, leave the sick. And so the rich and those who were able to help, they ran for the hills and left them. And the Christians stayed and showed love. And this just completely typified and spoke to the world around them of what Christian values were. So then there was Constantine. He was a Roman Empire. Emperor, and he... Some weird noises going on here. All right. I think there's a blowfly in the speaker. So he was ruling, and he was a Christian. And Christians at that time were standing out in the community. And people looked at him and they were like, wow, we like these guys. They help people. That is something we've never seen before. And we reckon it's pretty good. Then he was succeeded by a guy called Julian. I actually call him Julian the Apostate. Not a very cool name. But he wanted to go back to their pagan religions. But he said, you know what? We've got a little problem. Everyone likes the Christians too much because they're so kind to everybody. So what we'll do is we'll imitate what the Christians do. So he said to the priests, right, you've got to start being kind to people. And it didn't work for two reasons. One, Julian died very quickly. That threw a spanner in the works. And B, the priests just didn't have that as part of their pagan priests didn't have that as part of their worldview. It just wasn't on their radar. It was not something they valued, so they wouldn't do it. And so it didn't happen. And so I guess the point we're making is that caring for people is not something that has always been on society's radar. That has been changed by the gospel and changed by the Lord Jesus Christ. So the flow and effect of that is that, you know, 2,000 years later, much of what we have and what we see around us in terms of caring for people is actually from a Christian heritage and the influence of the church. And some things very, very directly. So we talk about things like Anglicare, the Salvation Army, St. Vincent's Hospital, are very directly out of Christians' desire to help those who are in need. But beyond that, our entire medical system, you know, the DHS, ambulances, special schools, welfare systems, all those things that we have in place, they all come out of a culture that values and cares for people. But that culture came out of Christianity. And so we can be very proud as Christians of the heritage and how that has impacted the world. So I guess to wrap all this up, the first point is obvious. The Lord Jesus Christ has come and he's died for you. the rich became poor so that we might become spiritually rich. So if you haven't put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to do that. That's the first and underlying thing that all this comes out of. The second thing is that if you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, then we should imitate him as we live, showing kindness to others. And the reason we should do this is because he's been kind to us, and he's shown kindness to us and great grace and love towards us. We should also show kindness to others in order to bring honour to him and to his name. You see how that in the early church, the name of Christ was elevated even amongst those who didn't believe, because they were seen to be people who cared. It brought honour to the name of Jesus, and we want to be like that. And another aspect of all this is that in this day and age, when people are sort of talking about Christianity as if we're swinging slightly to it's like a bad thing. I don't know if you've noticed that. That we shouldn't be ashamed of Jesus. We shouldn't be ashamed of Christianity. When it's mocked or threatened or spoken against, we should actually stand up and say, hang on a minute. The very platforms that you have to say these things, the very mechanisms you have within government, the very services that we take for granted, have come as a direct result of Christianity and its influence in the world. And last of all, we need to be very, very thankful, don't we? We need to be thankful that God does care for each one of us. He cared enough to give his son. And we need to be thankful that God has given us, we've been born into a wonderfully blessed society where we have all these things. And we just can be thankful for that. And so Jesus has changed the game in society in regards to health, hasn't he? And in our lives.